Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, baby. You found your way back. You found your way back with us here to the garage. At Brad House Sports, our radio network coming to you live and in living color on Sunday morning. You know, I don't know if we're going to be able to see that much racing today. They're expecting. Yeah. I think they're going through some of that kind of thing down there. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning. Yeah, that's one of the worst things you want to hear or see at a racetrack if it rains, because there's really nothing to do but sit and wait.
Yeah, man. You know, looking back at this one last year, it was 4 weeks earlier, the Bristol event last year, and they moved it in the anticipation that better weather obviously would come with later time in the season. So we've had pretty good luck, Brandon. We have not had the rainouts and delays as we endured, all of us, last year through about the first, I would say, 7 or 8 races. It seemed everything was predicated on weather last year. We've been good thus far, but down there right now in Bristol, Tennessee, it's all green. I'm looking at the live radar. So word from the track is, you know, we're going to try and get everything in. We've got lights here. We can do it later in the day if that is going to be the issue.
Oh, that's
and
true.
I guess it's a small track, Brandon. At least I guess they've got that on their side, right, if they have to dry the thing.
Yeah, that's true. I always forget that Bristol has lights because, you know, the August race is a night race. So, yeah, they could, in theory, if the weather passes or they get a window, you know, we could see this thing running tonight.
Yeah, hopefully so. They are, of course, we're coming to folks from, you know, Pennsylvania here, tucked away in our little corner, but they are south and west of us, and I guess all that kind of crazy weather is heading our direction, more like tomorrow, I think later for us tonight and tomorrow, but in fact, the weather doesn't seem to me to be much better for Tennessee tomorrow either, so hopefully they'll be able to get the thing in, and even if it's, I guess, shortened, what do they have to do, just go over half the distance, right?
Yeah, they'd have to go over 250 laps. You know what, though? NASCAR doesn't really like doing that. The scenario where that seems to work better for them is if, say, for example, the race starts on time and then it goes, you know, over halfway and then rain, and then they'll do it. They generally don't – they usually won't start a race unless they think they can get it in.
Right. They want to know going in they can get more than half of it. I got
right.
you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because
so we'll have to see.
You know, it's a hassle. It's a hang-up.
I will
you
say
know,
this. Bristol sits at the bottom of a valley of two mountains, so the weather can change pretty quickly.
They can catch a little window there, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes. So,
yeah,
you know.
Sitting in the valley. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It does lead to interesting weather sometimes.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
all. You know,
that's
it looks like
say.
They're going to get hit, and then they never see the rain, and other times they think they're going to be good, and they get the rain. So we'll see what happens when the time comes.
Yeah. Hey, I think maybe Good Morning Sidekick is in order. Is Sidekick joining us from out there? He's a little further west of Tennessee, though. Good Morning Sidekick. I think he's with us.
Is this thing on?
Yeah, man, that's what she said.
Dave sounds like he's been out at the bar tonight before.
Yeah, not running good this morning. So
is it allergies? Because I got hit with it this morning myself.
Yeah,
my
partially. Yeah, I slept with my window open. There's a tree right outside, and then Skype decided to act up this morning. So you know, I pulled it. Yeah. You know, Skype always likes to update, you know,
yeah.
So I fired up, I didn't have my headphones plugged in, so I fire up Skype this morning. You know, no update or anything. And then I realized I didn't have my headphones plugged in, so I'm like, you know what, I'll quit Skype. I'll come back in, get ready to do the show. We're 5 minutes out. Second time in, oh, let's update Skype now. You know, why don't you do that the first time? So, but hey, it's all good. Let's talk about some racing, huh?
Yeah, man.
Golf clap.
Yeah,
nicely
there we go.
Played.
I like that.
Nicely played. Yeah, so listen, I mean, obviously we have a race from last week we should talk about, and of course we've had some things happen this week. What do you got there, Sy?
I don't know. I thought that was friend of the show, Nick, run to the bathroom. that sound clip you had playing her.
Well, let's see. Let me get my outline in front of me. What do we know about this RCR thing? Tell me what you guys think, because I have a theory on the Newman RCR, Richard Childress P5 that was upheld. Those guys were essentially, as we read this, you know, the decision stands. The suspensions remain. We're going to take back some points. What's your thought on this? And are we going to see more? Are we done now with the tire thing, do you think, for the year?
Well, I hope to answer the last part, we are. I think, you know, the teams should be smart enough to realize NASCAR is looking for it now. So let's not intentionally do the same thing. As far as the penalty, I mean, it's hard to make a decision because NASCAR doesn't seem to be willing to share their evidence or even tell us what they did, let alone, you know, some pictures or something. I think we could better make a determination of how, you know, severe of an infraction it was if we actually had something to base it on. I mean, we're just hearing that they did something to the tires. We don't even know. So I kind of find that to be a little disheartening. I did hear Richard Childress is going to take it to the final arbitrator, though. So he seems to think that there is something to be gained. I don't know what, but
now,
they're going to try.
Now, that would mean then Newman's going to keep his crew chief and everybody collectively today for the Bristol event. Is that right?
You know what? Let me check on that. I'll check on that while you and Sykes are talking.
Actually, yes. He keeps his crew chief. That's what I think
right. This
is all
they
about,
deferred,
honestly.
Yeah, they deferred just to get through this event. And I guess he sits for six along with the tire mechanic, the tire chief. Who else? There's someone else. So those things are going to go forward. It actually, what do you make of it, Sidekick? What do you think about? We're going to take back some points. We'll take back a few dollars off of that charge we hit you with. But otherwise, everything else stands. What's the message here?
Well,
is it self obvious? Again, I have a theory.
Well, I don't. To be honest, I think the whole reason they're going through this, you know, dog and pony show, is they're trying to keep their crew as long as they can keep their crew.
Right. I guess it's from Childress's side. But what do you make of the decision from NASCAR? Well, it actually wasn't from NASCAR, if you think about it. They went before an appeals panel, and these are other – I mean, they're in the world of motorsports, but they're not, per se, NASCAR-sanctioned people that heard the appeal. So from that standpoint, evidently, Richard Childress and company went in there. I gleaned that they went in there armed to the teeth. They had poster boards. They took in tire. I guess, I don't know if they were sticker tires or used tires from their own garage, but they presented this as part of their appeal. They had fat folders full of documentation that they were ready to present. So it sounded like, I mean, Childress was ready to put everything out there, and I guess they did. But in fact, it's still a P5. The suspensions still are going to rock.
Right.
I don't.
Well,
you know what I mean? So what did
we? One of the things you got to remember here is tires is one of the big three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about the penalty system and stuff, you just don't F with the tires.
And teams have been warned. They've been warned before, right?
Now, I haven't seen, and maybe you guys have, I haven't scene where RCR really went into any detail. I watched the post-appeal interview, and the RCR representative didn't say anything. We went in, we pleaded our case. You know, we're thankful they, you know, heard us out and everything, but we're disappointed that, you know, this wasn't overturned. And again, there's no mention of detail. And I'm like, well, hold on. Why aren't you guys talking about it? And I didn't even think of what you said about NASCAR hasn't really divulged what the issue was. You know, so I don't know what this is, you know, why there's this cloud of secrecy around this, you know, this type of penalty, unless they suspect that this is a wider issue in NASCAR, as we've seen that, you know, they've been, you know, Harvick's tires and these tires and that tire and this team's tires for weeks. You know, we thought this was a, you know, a burnout smoke screen. Yeah, and then all of a sudden RCR comes up with this and they say, hey, you know, we found, you know, Ryan Newman was messing with his tires. So I don't know if they're trying, if the secrecy is because they're trying to not let the
yeah,
other
people
team
know how to cheat. We don't want to tell you how to cheat, yeah. But here's what it is. That was the evidence,
yeah.
Right.
Or that we know that we know how you're cheating, but we're not going to tell you we know how. We're just
right.
going to tell
just
you
gonna,
we know you're
we're
cheating.
Gonna, right, exactly. We know you know we know you know we know. You
know?
It's, right?
It's difficult
so,
to start.
Right,
know.
Right. Don't ask, don't tell, and that'll be fine. Well, here's my take on it. I'll be honest with you. Essentially, the appeals panel said that there was no clear language about what constitutes a post-race inspection. So, in other words, I think the appeals panel simply threw a little admonishment NASCAR's way. And by doing so, of course, it would have resulted in, well, we got to roll back off of some of this discipline you put on this team. But in fact, I think at the heart of it, there probably is some nonsense going on still. And I tend to agree with you, maybe, Sidekick, that in fact, they might just be waiting to see, well, let's get through the All-Star race, and then we'll start popping audits again and see if we catch another group. I think valve stems and bleeders maybe this really does go to more than, you know, originally the whole idea of we're trying to probe tires in microscopic ways. We're trying to pierce tire, you know, tread and that. But it's interesting because the veracity of the penalty stands, and it's a big one. It's a big one. It's not quite Clint Boyer spinning for Michael Waltrip, but this one rocks, right? I don't think we've had an appeal. Perhaps the last appeal was like 2013, I believe. There was some issue maybe with Matt Kenseth, if I read that, I think, one day in passing this week. But we haven't had like an appeals process in a while or a team sanction and penalty of this nature. So, if I were the teams out there, I would wake up. I don't know what you all think. Give us a call, 347-826-9964. Call us up and call us out. Tell us what you think. Go ahead, Brandon.
I would agree. Getting caught now doing with something with the tires, they're going to thump whoever does it again.
Yeah, man, you're going to get down.
It's coming.
And you probably properly should be, I think, if you're going to try to. I mean, there's been too much controversy and nonsense anyway with phantom cautions and all that other stuff, and now we're going to this. Now, on a feel-good side, earlier this week, Kyle Busch took a walk with the media through the whole Daytona thing that went down. And I don't know if you gentlemen, you might have been able to see it or parts of it now because it is on the internet, but I sat and was able to catch it live when it occurred, right over the laptop. It was great. Good stream, came through clear. He took about 30 minutes of Q&A after he walked through in a multimedia sort of way with the media, everything that happened with that crash. Of course, he hasn't even been in a sprint cup per se, so he has no idea of the new package, how the package is working for some teams and not others, but he offered a July date, which I was surprised at because he offered that. and that would coordinate with Daytona. But no sooner he said it, it seemed he kind of stepped off of it and said, well, obviously it's going to go to my physical therapist, it's going to go to my doctors, it's going to go to a lot of other people to make that decision. So I don't know if that's, but that's kind of what I guess his target is. He called the incident that occurred all his fault, and that he was trying to be greedy. He was being greedy, trying to push. Evidently, he was trying to push Eric Jones, as it turned out, who was driving. He was pushing Eric Jones in his truck. Earlier, he had been pushing Sadler, of course, going back to a super speedway where pack racing and pushing is required, especially with the trucks. It's a little different era of feel with the trucks, even. And lo and behold, of course, it all went awry. Had he made contact with another vehicle, interestingly enough, Sidekick, he said he might have experienced less damage because he may not have hit the wall head on. Good news for Kyle Busch. We all miss him, right, guys? I mean, it'd be great to see him come back and try and make a run here.
Yeah, it would be. I'd like to see him come back. I think, I'll be honest with you, this almost looks back to, like, you know, we've seen this before in NASCAR when you got a guy who's not really a fan favorite guy have something bad go his way. It almost seems like the fans are going to rally around him a little. So
yeah.
He might actually not get booed as bad for a little while anyway, at least till the first time he sticks his nose in somebody else's rear end that the fans don't like. So, but at least in the short term, he might get a little, you know, cheers for a change.
Yeah,
yeah,
well,
I think you're right.
I'd miss seeing him out
there. He had beautiful hair.
Yeah, he sure did. What do you think, Sidekick? Got to get Rowdy back in the car, right? Now, is he going to do like his brother, though? He's going to not. He won't be Rowdy anymore, right? Because Kurt Busch isn't the outlaw anymore. We know that. So I guess when Kyle comes back, he won't be Rowdy no more.
Yeah, no, I don't see that happening at all. Come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this isn't like a Days of Thunder, you know, where you know, where you come back and you're scared to get in the car and all that stuff. I don't think there's 1 ounce of fear with Kyle Busch getting back in that car. Kyle Busch is going to get back on that track, and he's going to be Kyle Busch day one. You know what I mean? He's going to be pushing that car to the limit. I don't think there, you know, this wasn't one of them accidents where, you know, it, you know, he hit the inside wall. I mean, will it, you know, next time he's, you know, facing a inside wall, is he going to be, you know, is some fear going to go through his head? Maybe, but I don't see where it's going to impact his performance on the track. You know, he's still going to be pushing and banging and, you know, doing what Kyle Busch does.
Yeah, well,
you
there's no two ways around it. A skilled driver is going out to run the race and win the race. They are not going out to wreck. So you're absolutely right. If any driver gets behind the wheel saying, oh, my goodness, I might wreck today, I don't know if they really belong in the sport. You know what I mean? I think you have to be fearless. You have to be ready. And if to your point, if the genetics are any example, we've already seen what his brother Kurt can do.
And
I mean, you know, Kurt's running like a madman, and there you go, genetics.
Yeah, the only thing I think I might question with Kyle coming back, you know, Kurt was on the bench because of some lunatic fringe, you know, I'm going to ruin your career ex-girlfriend. You know, Kyle Busch, he broke his leg in a couple spots. So it'll be interesting to see what his conditioning is and, you know, how he feels physically when he gets in the car. You know, that may be the only thing that may, you know, when he first gets back into that car where, you know, he may have some soreness or, you know, something like that. But, you know, as far as his driving style, you know, he's always going to be aggressive, you know, and you're always, you know, you watch him race and you see him make these fantastic saves. You know, it's very rare that you see, you know, you actually see Kyle Busch really, really wreck a car. You know what I mean? You know, he's more known for those highlight reel saves that he can do. So I don't, you know, like I said, I don't see him coming back and, you know, driving any other way than Kyle Busch drives.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, evidently Tony Stewart was the first of the, I guess, professional relationships to come see him, and Stewart went and saw him the day it occurred, which would have been, that was a Saturday race, I believe, but the day of the occurrence, and he stayed for several hours, Kyle told the media, which I thought was very interesting. I mean, who couldn't relate more, right, to that kind of absolute devastation, you know, than Tony Stewart? And to your point, sidekick, you know, Stewart probably still feels the effects of his wreck. I don't know, does he still have one more procedure he's supposed to? I think I read at the end of the season he's got one last procedure, maybe to remove his hardware. Kyle Busch said the same, that in December, irrespective of what he does for the rest of the, you know, this season, hopeful to return, he'll go back in December and have to get, I guess, pins and that removed and screws from his foot. And evidently, the broken foot seems to be the bigger issue, even than the leg. I mean, it's amazing. It's just great to see him. It was a good report. It was a good feel-good story opposite the Newman thing and the Richard Childress sanctions that were upheld. But those were the two kind of big stories. Now, last week ago, we had a race. It was actually good for Fred House Mike. Fred House Mike picked the right winner last week. But our Duck Commander 500 down there in Texas Motor Speedway, it started off high with Kurt Busch winning the second pole in just his fourth race of 2015. And he looked like a car beat, absolutely Kurt Busch. But he kind of faded down the stretch. I believe, Brandon, you and I both sat and kind of watched Kurt fade away last week, and that was disappointing. It didn't matter, really. Johnson had other ideas against everybody's plan, and he came through with the win. It was okay race. Maybe a little bit of the leader, maybe a little boring. It's a big track. And it's a run. Truex kept his young Truex Jr. He's been a lot of fun. Top 10 of all 7 points. Events he's run now, so he's got a nice little streak of seven in a row. Harvick, Logano are doing the same. They're keeping their streak alive. The Penske duo, there you go. The Pesky boys, as Fred House Mike refers to them, fourth and fifth at Texas. Gordon got seven. That was best of the year. We've almost forgotten he can be good anymore. His twilight year. Earnhardt's late run. Boy, oh boy, and he did it. It was good enough for third. He almost had second. I thought he had second. He missed it by like a third of a car length. But that was actually, the run for second was really the race because, you know, JJ was way out front by that point. A few guys blew up. Menard lost his engine late. That was a shame because he actually was contending most of the day. Carl Edwards, people like him today, Concrete Carl. And that is a concrete coliseum we'll be running if they can get that thing in Bristol. But he wound up with his first 10, in fact, 10th place. But essentially last week, what do you say, man? Toyotas were not a factor at that track at all, were they?
No, not really. It just goes back to what we kind of saw, you know, earlier. They ran well, though. I mean, they made a show of it anyway. But yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of typical to what we've been seeing all year. What do you think there, sidekick?
Got to go. Obviously, back to the we've got to do a better job.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the Toyotas.
They can on them bigger tracks, man. They're having strobes. They're going to run good here at Bristol. They're running here good.
I don't get, I mean, Toyota was so dominant. Just a few years back, like everywhere. And, you know, they made, you know, a couple rules changes, and all of a sudden the Toyotas just can't do jack. I mean, I don't know where the problem really lies there.
Everything seems to be pointing to horsepower, that they're down on power.
Yeah. You know, is it really that the other manufacturers caught up, or is Toyota having an issue? You know, it's interesting to see that, now my mind went blank. Childress. Was it Roush or Childress that got that new software? I'm sorry. It's Sunday morning. It's early.
I'm not sure.
Oh, well, Roush has that new aero simulation software,
Dynola.
Right, and they've been testing that. And they've been trying to find an aero tweak, and they keep saying they've got it, but then, well, it doesn't seem to pan out. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, but they ran better last. You know, it looked like that new software is finally starting to pay off for Roush. So I don't know if that's something, that Toyota's lacking or what exactly, because it's not like we've seen in past years where Toyota was on the edge pushing the car where, motors were going and, different things like that. There's no power there, So I don't know what Toyota's issue is, but I think they need to get it fixed. The bright spot for that team actually has been David Reagan filling in for Kyle Busch.
He has done a nice job.
He's bringing the car home every week. He's finishing all right. Obviously it's not Kyle Busch.
He's staying in top 20, top 15 probably, were we to look at his average. He's probably averaging there. I agree with you. Hamlin was exciting when we went to Martinsville. Let's be honest, exciting. That was a fun race. And I would agree, Brandon, that this kind of short track circuit, now, of course, higher banking, this could be a wreck fest. And if its conditions are not great, it could be even worse. But this could be a very good week. I mean, Carl Edwards has practiced well here, certainly Kenseth. He's got the pole going into today's event. As you say, Reagan, got to like him. He's in there. Hamlin race winner. So I really, today at this event, I kind of like Toyota, but, it's the mile and a half. Yeah, that's really what it all comes down to. It's those mile and a half. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, did see a little bit in Texas some gambling, just taking two tires, close to the end. A lot of guys, when the field got bunched up, jumped on that idea. McMurray, Kane, Stenhouse, they took two tire gambles. It worked out good for Jamie Mack. It worked for Gordon at the end. It worked for Truex at the end. They got better finish. Not so much a long race in terms of long green flag here, right, men? What do you think? If we get 50 green flag laps, that'll be a lot, right? This isn't going to be like that.
Yeah, you might be right there. I mean, we generally will get once in a while during Bristol, you can get a decent green flag run. But, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot more, 12, 14 cautions. If the race runs, obviously we have to wait and see where, what the weather's going to have. But
when this
race does go, if they run the whole distance, you'll see that. I think it'll be your typical, you'll see 4, 5, 6 cars running without a hood and fenders, that kind of thing.
That's the way you do it, man. That's the way you do it.
Rubin's racing, ain't that right, Sidekick?
Absolutely. This is in the infamous words of, wrestling commentator Jim Ross, this is going to be a slobber knocker.
Yeah, it is.
While the super speedways are fun to wait for the big one, and sometimes it gets a little bit boring, because you get these long stretches where it's follow the leader kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is almost an all exciting race, because
there's nowhere to go. We're gonna have 43 cars on this half mile, and we know how that looks. Yeah. It's gonna look like a freight train. Not gonna get the field spread out, but lap traffic is fun. That's where, to me, I prefer the short track racing, because now you're coming around, you're lapping guys, you're having to hold the lead in lap traffic. I think this is Great stuff.
You know, in qualifying, they're qualifying a 15-second lap.
Yep.
Okay. When we saw qualifying yesterday,
14.9.
Yeah. So you've got 43 cars going around this track. You know, they say it's the fastest half mile. You know, and there was a lot of talk. This is how tight this track is. When they put safer barriers around the whole track. Okay. Now, this is only a half-mile track, so we can see why this track was done versus, say, a two-mile Daytona, okay,
right,
with safer barriers. You know, it's a lot less expensive, smaller track. But they're talking about the drivers have 30 less inches from the outside of the track now on that
yep.
outside groove because they put safer barriers in. And
yep,
they're debating.
2.5 feet?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So they're sitting there debating that this how much this 30 inches impacts the drivers when they're going around this track. And I'm like, if it's that tight that you're worried about 30 inches, that's just craziness, you know? So, you know, but at the same time, you bang up your car a little bit, you don't have that aero that you have to worry about. Where, you know, it's going to impact you. You're going to see cars out there running with the whole front end of their car missing, looking like the Batmobile.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're
yep.
and they'll be running fairly well because aero's not a huge thing there.
Right.
You know, another interesting thing, though, about this race is you have two pit roads here at Martinsville. Or not
Bristol.
Bristol, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And if you have to pit under green, because it's 15-second laps, you can go down three laps pitting on this track, you know? And there's special procedures for pitting under green versus pitting under red because you've got the two pit roads and stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out today.
Yeah, evidently, I guess they kind of tweaked the rule for caution pit stops, and what it does in order to, I guess, eliminate the idea that there's a front and a back and there's an advantage, obviously, for the front. During yellow cautions, everybody must enter at one entrance only. Everyone enters the same way. They enter only in turn two, and then if you're on the front stretch, you have to circumnavigate the entire back stretch, and you exit in turn one only. And then during green flag runs, obviously, both are open. You've got the front and the back stretch, and when the pits are open, they're open. And you can enter and exit as most convenient to where you are pit stalled. But, yeah, you're right. This is a very interesting place. Very small, but my goodness, holds 160,000 or something. I mean, it's a tremendous capacity. You know, it's a funny thing. It's like the tiny giant.
It is an impressive-looking stadium. I mean, when that place is full, you know, it's unbelievable. They're actually talking, I think they're going to be hosting college football games in the near future there. In the infield, they're going to take – they've made it so they can put an actual football field on the – infield of this track, and they're going to host football games, college football games at this stadium, at this racetrack. We can call it a stadium. It looks like a stadium.
Yeah, but it really does, Brendan. It looks as though it would be an enclosed stadium, but yeah, it's actually a racetrack. But you're right. I mean, they've got football plans there. You know, there's other, I guess, more and more it seems NASCAR is trying to reach out to live music events. So more and more we're seeing tracks incorporate live music events, and maybe they always have been and we just didn't know it, or maybe now they're getting bigger acts. But, yeah, they're attempting to keep these places viable even in between events. Yeah, it should be a good time. Let me ask you this. What do you make of this kid, Eric Jones? I mean,
well,
Eric Jones is 18 years old. I mean, are we ready? Let's just strap him into the Sprint Cup, like, you know, end of the year. What do you think? I mean, are we hurrying this kid or what? Have
I'd
we
like
seen enough?
See,
is it a small sample size? Is it too big? Have we seen enough of this kid yet?
I would like to see them wait a little bit. I mean, yeah, he won an Xfinity race, and he beat some good Sprint Cup guys to do it. However, you know, when you get a whole field of Sprint Cup guys, you know, it's a little different. You need to have, you know, you have to go twice as long usually in the race. There's a lot of other factors other than just sitting in the car and driving it. And your skill level's a lot higher, all the guys around you. You, instead of having three or four cup guys right around you, you're going to have 42 guys around you. So I like the idea of sticking with David Ragan until Busch comes back. You know, if you want to sprinkle Eric Jones in at the end of the year for a race or two to get his feet wet, that's fine. You know, them talking about replacing David Ragan in the 18 car with Eric Jones right now, I think would be a mistake. I think you would see a lot of wrecked 18 cars is what I think you would see. But that's,
yeah,
you know, well, just my opinion.
What do you, good. I hear you, Brandon. What do you think? Like, what about this kid, Eric Jones?
Well, I'm kind of on, you know, on the same side as Brandon. You know, what's the, you know, I mentioned earlier in the season, I said, hey, why don't you bring up Eric Jones to replace Kyle Busch for the season? You know, and we were talking about, you know, he's competing for, you know, championships and stuff like that. So, you know, you can't have him come up. But I don't understand what the rush is to get Eric Jones in a car. Are we going to put him in a, you know, we got to open up another Toyota car, or, you know, is somebody, you know, somebody getting ready to leave and they, you know, they're trying to find a seat, or what's the, you know, I don't understand what this rush is that, you know, hey, we got to get Eric Jones up here. So
I hear you. I mean, I could understand Coach Joe Gibbs, you know, speaking well as he did about the young man with his victory at Texas, and that may have been just the passion of the moment, of the celebratory feeling that, in fact, boy, do we have our eye on this kid, and yes, we're definitely keeping him in our plan. But he kind of then sort of took the next step that I don't, yeah, and that I'm in agreement with both of you that at 18 years old, it's great to break records and set new records. And wow, look at that. There's a new bar, you know. But at the same time, he's 18 years old. He's declared for Camping World, that series, the whole year. Now, they're in a five-week break at the moment. They don't return until Kansas. So that while that is that series is off, obviously we're going to use Eric Jones at the Xfinity level, and that's fine. But essentially, once Camping World Truck comes back into play, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be congruous for him to continue to jump between both, right? I don't think it's going to work, because Camping World runs different, and sometimes they're the same as Sprint, sometimes they're not. So it's interesting. You know who I see wanting to get their claws in him, and that would be the Waltrip Group. I could certainly see Michael Waltrip trying to make a play for an Eric Jones, because there's something a little unscrupulous about him.
I think the Gibbs guys would have something to say about that. I think Joe Gibbs has plans for him, so I don't know about that. And I believe he is under contract with Gibbs, so, you know, Michael Waltrip might have a hard time, you know, getting their claws in him.
Yeah, you don't think Mikey would be out there with his little purse and he'll give you a Choco Taco and split all over your car? You know, you don't think that could happen?
He might try, but I don't think he's going to get there. The way I see it, honestly, is they're grooming Eric Jones to take over the 11 car, because I think when Hamlin's contract's up, it's time for him to find someplace else. It's just not working for him here at Gibbs. I mean, he's been here, I don't know, probably over 10 years by now. And, you know, they just can't seem to put it together. I think he needs a change of scenery. He could find himself in a children's car or something like that, and it might just be what Denny Hamlin needs. So I have a feeling Gibbs Racing's kind of keeping that seat, or at least their future seat, open for Eric Jones. That's just my opinion. I mean, obviously,
wow.
Edwards are set for a while. They're pretty new to the Gibbs scene, and Kyle Busch has been a mainstay there, and he's had success. So I think that if there's any room in the at the end for Erik Jones at, you know, at the top level, it's got to be that Hamlin seat. So that's just my
opinion. Interesting. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Good speculation. What do you think, Sidekick? What do you think of his speculation there? I hats off there. Good thought there on that, Brandon.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You know, because if you look at the, you know, the Gibbs stable, obviously Kenseth is only in the organization, what, 3 years now, I think. You know, so, you know, I don't know what he's got left on his contract, but, you know, he's relatively new to the organization, and he's winning, you know, we've seen how well he's been doing, at least his first year. You know, obviously the Toyotas are suffering, as we mentioned, the past couple of years. Carl Edwards, this is his first year, so that leaves kind of Denny Hamlin, unless, you know, Gibbs is looking to bring in a fourth car.
Well, they already have four. They already got four.
Who's the... See,
you
it's Sunday morning.
The 18, the 19,
that's right.
The
I'm
20,
sorry, Kyle
Busch.
That's
11,
right.
Yeah.
Kyle, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
see,
so.
We Kyle out this year.
It's confusing.
Who's the other car?
Yeah, right.
Now, I don't know how long Kurt or Kyle's got on his contract.
I think Kyle just signed. I think I remember Fred House Mike being a Kyle fan pointed out. I think they signed a new 3-year deal with M&M last year. So
okay.
I don't think they're going. I think they're pretty much
yeah.
That. Because there was speculation that M&M's was going to move over to Carl Edwards and Monster was going to become the primary sponsor on Kyle's car when, you know, the whole Carl Edwards things was being discussed. But
right.
Then they landed that whatever Aris does on – it's some kind of bug thing, I think. It's like a – or something. I'm not quite even sure what their product does, so it shows you how good they're doing marketing it in NASCAR. But, you know, they got that, and then Monster's – still on the 18 as an associate, so
right. Yeah,
I think they kind of have everything
Fred House
else
Mike
set.
Was just saying last year.
I think the only thing that's in flux with Gibbs would be that 11 car, maybe FedEx and Hamlin. And Uncle Mark, didn't you bring that up last week when we were talking about free agents that Hamlin was a free agent for next year? Correct.
Yeah, he is, and I actually hadn't considered him as maybe being possibly on the block. I mean, he got his win recently. I think he has run pretty consistently this year, at least in my view. I think he's run consistently. Certainly better than we've seen. It just seems like he's had the last two years in a row, he's had something occur, you know, be it injury or whatever, and he just seems as though he's a little more focused, but maybe you're right. Maybe that's why Hamlin, maybe he's realizing he's got to showcase himself because he knows he'll be out there. And at the same time, maybe that is the agenda for Gibbs, is to try to work this youngster into a full-time ride. I think he should do at least what Chase Elliott's doing now. I'd want to see Erik Jones sit in an Xfinity car for maybe a year, you know, after this, you know, if not two, and see how he performs there as well. But he's fun to watch. I mean, he ran from the pole again yesterday. I believe he's won three poles in a row over three consecutive weeks, and that might be both between truck and Xfinity, but you know, the kid obviously qualifies well, and he's not afraid to try that. It was a lot of fun. Hey, how about it, though? Yesterday, it was Logano start to finish at this Bristol event. Is that what we can expect to see? I think that is just astounding. Logano led every of the 300 laps yesterday at the Coliseum. I mean, wow.
Not to give anything away, but I have a feeling that number two, not the 22, the two might just be my dust pick this week. I think Penske has something going right now, and they're going to look good. And I don't like Joey Logano's chances for 500 laps. He's bound to piss somebody off. We'll show him the bumper and the wall. But Keselowski, he's tenacious enough, and I think he's won at Bristol before, so I think Keselowski's going to be your man today. I think you might see a lot of 22 in the beginning of the race, you know, for a while. But I think we're going to see both those pesky cars up front all day.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
My,
well,
that's
it'll be okay. I like it. Now let's. This is a little bit. I might be a little shot out, but you know, looking at this race last year, this actually had been a great race for Ricky Stenhouse, and actually Biffle didn't do too badly at this event last year. Now it would have been in March last. Pardon me, March last year. Again, they moved Bristol up. Edwards got his win at Bristol, Concrete Carl, but right there was Ricky Stenhouse was like second to him in one of his best events of the year. Maybe there's something to be said for the Fords and even the weaker, poor cousin Fords of Roush today, Brandon, because evidently this is not a bad Roush track historically. So
no,
there might,
no,
be,
it's
something,
not been.
Might
I mean,
be something to that.
Guys like Kenseth and Edwards, who are now running for Gibbs, won a lot of races here for Roush. So, you know, they've done well at this track in as an organization, Roush has. I don't know that, you know, right now they don't have those two drivers driving for him anymore. So I don't know if that has any impact on it. But, I mean, you already discussed earlier that Carl's really good on concrete. And Matt Kenseth has won a couple of times here at Bristol. So, you know. That explains their, you know, organizational success at this track. I don't know if it's going to equate to their drivers they have today. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little less than impressed with Roush Racing's top shelf tier of drivers right now. Biffle does nothing for me. Stenhouse hasn't shown anything in the 3 years he's been in the car, and this is Trevor Bayne's first full year, and so far he's not really shown us much either. You know, I mean. At the Xfinity level, they're showing us quite a bit. They got, you know, it looks like they have some good guys in the future coming up, and they're
just
doing it right.
Astounding.
Like,
yep,
keeping them
just
there,
astounding.
So.
Yep, they are
but
running strong.
I'm not. Somebody's got to step up in this, you know, in the Sprint Cup class for them to show me something, because right now, I ain't liking any of them.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Mm-hmm. What's great about this short track, too, is that, you know, you have those few one-car teams out there and individual drivers that nobody talks about maybe otherwise. You know, here's Truex. He certainly stands a good chance. He's a decent wheel man. This is the kind of track that maybe if he gets the right opportunity, he could certainly find himself getting a win here. While a member of a larger team, I'll throw a nod to Paul Menard. Paul Menard has quietly just been, you know, sort of the Newman consistent that we kind of saw last year. Of course, Newman took the hit in points, got some back, but he still took the hit in points, so he dropped down the list. But there's Paul Menard, and the last couple or 3 weeks, I don't know, I'm still waiting for the fade sidekick of Paul Menard. He generally comes on strong, and then, he kind of fades away. But he's been interesting. He might have some luck here. Casey Mears. Who else? Any other dark horse anybody want to throw into the mix for today? Assuming we get it in. It's so nice and sunny here. I wish it was this way in Bristol.
Yeah, no, I think you pretty much named all the – I can't think of a really a dark horse. Other than I'm real – yeah. Wait for Kyle Larson to get that win this season.
Yeah, buddy.
That
yeah,
might not
buddy.
Be a bad one.
Yeah,
there.
I think buddy. He's going to be the one to get that win of the, you know, those younger guys that we were talking about. But, you know, mm-hmm. Is he going to be able to steal one this weekend? I don't know.
Maybe Truex might be another one to keep an eye on. He's been having a good year in that Satellite Childress car.
Yeah.
And I think he's had some pretty good runs around this track before, so... I think Truex comes from short track roots. You know,
yeah, and he's what, finishing top 10 every race this season so far.
Yeah,
so
that might be one to keep your eye on. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there.
No,
absolutely
right.
Point
absolutely
to,
right.
You know, I'm just not trying to predict him as a winner, but I think he could be, you could see him up front a lot. Like
no, that's exactly right. Yeah, well, that's what I wanted, you know, just to kind of kick some names around. You know, I'm not feeling like A.J. Allmendinger right now or Eric Almirola. I'm not really feeling them. for this kind of situation we're going into at Bristol. But I'd like, you know, Reagan, he's a decent little guy, wheelman. Like you say, Kyle Larson could certainly make some noise here.
And Reagan has a win here, I believe. In one of the series, I think Reagan has a win here.
Oh, there you go. So, I mean, it certainly could happen. It's funny how Ricky and Danica wind up right there together on row 13 today. Hold hands, you lovebirds. And I'll tell you, somebody has really got to show up. Somebody's got to wake up Sam Hornish Jr. and invite him to the party already. Because I don't know what's going on there. That's got to be a terrible disappointment to the Richard Petty folk that, you know, we lost our favorite Aussie. He abandons the 9 car. They lost the sponsor, too, right? I mean, Stanley. They jumped over to who?
They went with Carl Edwards.
They're Gibbs, right? Yeah. So they lost the sponsor, and that number 9 car should be certainly viable. And I thought Sam Hornish Jr. was sort of like a race car driver. Am I being too hard on him? But come on, man. Come on, man. Somebody's got to wake him up.
You know,
I agree.
With
the exception of Tony Stewart, those open wheel guys have not really made the transition that well.
Yeah, it's been tough.
You know what I mean? You know, we're looking at Danica. You know, the only thing she's doing is, you know, spilling my eggs on the floor. And,
No.
You know.
I hate when that happens.
You know, you know, we saw what happened to Juan Pablo McShane. and then, you know, we saw Marcos had, you know, he decided to head back to Australia.
Yeah,
you know,
he's actually struggling back there. I don't know if he's in his seat yet. They put him as like a lead driver on his team, and he essentially stepped down saying, you know what, I haven't been performing well. So, unfortunately, Marcus Ambrose isn't finding immediate success even over in his other, you know, what is that, V8 supercar series.
Yeah, I don't think he's driving anything at the moment. I think you might see him when we go to Sonoma. That's when I think we'll hear Marcos Ambrose.
Yeah,
name.
Right.
Somebody
he'll come back and drive for Penske, maybe. What do you think? Who will he jump in
with?
That'd
be a good
one
in that 12 car they run once in a while. That would be a good one.
I mean, he
might
be able
like
to
that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
I mean,
will
we
throw
will
a car
have,
together for him. He's
we'll
just,
have
he ran too good.
Road course, you know, some road coursing. That all goes on, of course, later in the year. But that should be a good time. And right now is a good time to remind anybody that's out there and you're listening, if you want to reach out and holler, do that, 347-826-9964. You can give us a call, and we're chatting up a little NASCAR, we're doing a little this, a little that. I think we've had Frat House Mike listening in, as far as I know, but, you know, he might be over there snoozing. I don't know. He's been going through it with his, he might be sleeping, yeah. He's been going through it with the allergies. I guess you all you guys suffer with the allergies. I do too. So, kind of for me, it's like the eyes and stuff. But at any rate, it sure is nice here today. And give us a call 347-826-9964. Should we jump over the pit wall and see what's going on? You know. There was some chat they were going to let them use the 2016 rules package. I guess they're already doing some testing. That's part of the Goodyear testing they do. Is they, I guess, allow teams to experiment with what's considered the 2016 rules package. They already have it evidently, you know, more or less ready. And there was some talk that they would allow them to use it in the upcoming All-Star weekend race.
Yep.
You know, that'll be going forward. You know, we've still got about a month till then, almost. But evidently they rolled away from the idea. Some guys are saying, some drivers are saying, boy, that 2016, that's really going to be great, taking away a little more downforce, giving a little more, putting a little more onus on the drivers and teams to find the balance, And it seems as though, you know, a lot of drivers that have tested – and have used it. Jamie Mack seems to be one. I think one of the Hendricks guys, maybe it was Casey Kane, had mentioned good things about it in the couple of times they've tried it. But evidently they're not going to put it in place. I'm wondering, is it better than what we already have, and they don't want to put that out there, NASCAR? They don't want to put that information out there and show the fans, hey, here's what the product is for next year, but in the meantime, we're going to keep it the way it is. Or if, in fact, you know, maybe there isn't that much change. I don't know. But I was looking forward to seeing it because supposedly it's going to be even faster than what we have now, right? Because they reduced horsepower, but they took away downforce, and they've tried to experiment with the balance. We saw in qualifying, boy, talk about no balance at this Bristol track. Boy, Gordon had a heck of a day. He couldn't seem to keep it together out there on the track. Jimmy Johnson, we saw him doing some qualifying laps. He was losing it. Nobody could keep the back end under them. And I'm wondering, I mean, that's part of the package, right, men? The whole balance and aero of a car, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was kind of looking forward to see the package at the All-Star race. I hadn't noticed that they were reconsidering that. That's kind of a shame, because I wanted to get a look at that. That would have been an interesting little test to see what it was going to do. But hey, maybe you're right. Maybe NASCAR's worried it'd be too good of a show, and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to let the fans see something that's even better and have to suffer with the current rule package the rest of the year. I don't know. I would think, though, NASCAR is usually quick to react. If it showed up to be, you know, a better package, a better, you know, race day show, I would think they would adapt and just make the rules start sooner. You know, NASCAR doesn't generally sleep on stuff like that. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the rationale is here. And I know they're using them in testing. The other day, one of the guys had a digital dash. They had pictures all over Facebook that they have these digital dashes.
Oh, Jamie Mack.
Yeah, Jamie Mack had it. It's the 2016 digital dash. Everybody's going to have to use them by next
like
year.
A template,
it's
right.
Yeah, it's almost like a computer screen readout in front of these guys. I mean, it gives them everything, you know. So, and it is going to be a required use for next season. So, you know, they're using this stuff.
Yeah, actually, I was going to bring that up. On my over the pit wall topic. You know, it's pretty cool because it's like you said, it's digital dash, and you can toggle this thing where, you know, all sorts of displays and stuff like that. It looks pretty futuristic. You know,
my only concern with it would be is what happens if it craps out during the race, then what do they do? Then they have nothing. At least, because we often hear how one or two gauges or a light or something on dash starts to malfunction. You know, if you got everything on one digital readout, if this thing goes south during the race, then what do you do? So,
true.
But hey, I'm sure they'll have contingencies, I would imagine. But
yeah,
you might see more of the 2016 stuff later down the road. Who knows? NASCAR will find a way to get it out there, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Well, evidently, I'll go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, since we were talking about Juan Pablo McShane earlier, I wanted to bring up, you know, for another over-the-wall topic is out here in St. Louis, we have, you know, Gateway Motorsports, where NASCAR comes. I think the trucks in the Xfinity Series, they just opened up a go-kart track this weekend on the inner oval.
Awesome.
And they're going to have officially sanctioned go-kart racing and everything.
Oh, that'd be awesome to go to. That'd be great.
I'm gonna have to go over here one of these weekends and go give this a try and see how this is.
There you go. That
I like it. Yeah, that should be a good time, man. Should be a good time. Well, it turned out they backed off that whole rules thing. I guess back on, I'm trying to look here, the date of this article was the 8th. Of April, so I guess that would have been a couple of weeks ago. They announced following a number of discussions with the industry, specifically teams in Goodyear, we decided it would be in the best interest to maintain the 2015 rules package for the All-Star Weekend, NASCAR statement said. I don't know if there's, yeah, who knows, maybe there's some additional cost figured into that, doing that change, and they don't want to do it for that reason, once again, because of, you know, small teams versus large teams, I don't know. And I guess another kind of sad story, you know, they've renamed today's event, or hopefully today's event, if we're going to get it in, if not, it'll be tomorrow's event, maybe. The Food City 500 is now dedicated to, obviously, Steve Burns, and, you know, I guess I just, from myself and from everybody here, we all wish the best for Steve. Some of the pictures that we've seen tweeted out don't exactly picture him in the color of great health and recovery. So, you know, kind of sad, but like to see the guy recover clearly. But that's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. It does give a sense of NASCAR community, right, when we see all the teams, everybody's getting involved and trying to, you know, it's a stand-up for cancer, essentially, plea that we're seeing here. Kind of a nice thing, guys, right? You know what I mean?
I would agree, without a doubt. I feel bad because especially after seeing some of those pictures you were mentioning, I'm just waiting for the somber announcement that's going to come out that he's lost his battle, because it does not look like he's winning. That's for sure. He looks, every time you see a picture of him, he looks smaller, and he just doesn't look healthy. He looks like, you know, the cancer's kicking his butt to a degree.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, he can come, you know, it could turn around for him. But
absolutely.
You know.
Sure. That's exactly right, Brandon. So, you know, hope, you know, we're going to hope against hope that it's not going to be the end. But I agree with you. Unfortunately, some, you know, I guess it's very difficult. I've never been through that kind of intense cancer treatment, but it does tend to take some of the light and life out of people's eyes. And that's unfortunately what I've seen in some of the recent photos. Of course, you know, that would be him in ICU and stuff too. So nobody, I guess, is looking real bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in the ICU. But certainly we wish the best. And I thought it was a nice thing that, in fact, you know, hats off to NASCAR for doing the right thing, not waiting until, you know, the guy's deceased and then going back and saying, oh, by the way, let's offer a tribute now. So at least they're being proactive somewhat. And what do you think? I, you know, final thought here for my over-the-wall nonsense before we get into commiserating and ruminating and expectorating about our fantasy. I think it makes sense to let Denica run F1 next year for Haas. And, you know, open up that 10 card. And we talked about it last week. I'm still on it. I'm still on it. I can't get off it. I think it's an outstanding idea. Let her go run the open wheel. She's not driven F1 before. What was she, IndyCar?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
but
she's
got that open wheel experience, and she likes that smaller vehicle, you know, because I think that's part of Danica's thing. I think if you put her in a smaller, fast vehicle, she actually doesn't mind getting more aggressive because she realizes the risks are even. But you put her in a bigger car, it's like a tank, and, you know, I don't want to generalize because I can't speak for anybody, but I know that some females, and there's probably some males out there, you know, hey, they don't like a bigger vehicle. They like a smaller vehicle. They feel like the bigger vehicle's too big. So maybe you get her open wheel. She can keep her go daddy sponsor, get the F1 thing going for Haas. Good idea, thumbs up. And at the same time, we open up the 10 car and let's get somebody in there. I don't know. Could we lure over Denny Hamlin? They're good friends anyway. What do you think? Let Denny Hamlin go over there. That's an idea for us, Brandon. What do you think, huh?
Yeah, boy, well, maybe.
Boy, huh? Yeah.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember somewhere reading a couple months ago, though, that after the Haas announced this, somebody did ask her that question, and she kind of closed the door on it, saying
yeah,
it wasn't something she'd be interested in. So, but then again, you know,
she ain't signing the check
in front of her, right? Yeah.
She ain't signing the checks, but she's looking for some. She's looking for some that are signed with her name on them.
If there's enough zeros on that check, you know, that might change her opinion in a hurry.
Yeah, well,
I don't know how well suited she would be. I mean, I know racing at that level, and you're talking about the best drivers, road race drivers in the world. I mean, I don't know if she's, you know, got that kind of pedigree. It's not like she ever won. I think she won one race in IndyCar. She never won a championship. I mean,
it
might be a stretch.
You still have to fill the field, don't you?
The only way I think it would be beneficial is if it helps Haas land a big dollar sponsor, because you need money to race F1. You ain't running that out of your pocket.
Well, that's
billion,
why I'm thinking.
That's
you know,
billion
if,
dollar.
If they can
that's
get
billion
the hook,
dollar a year.
Get the hook with GoDaddy and take GoDaddy that way. You know, I just think it's an outstanding idea, and I appreciate all of you listening. And yeah, thank you. Thank you.
What do you think? What do you think, Sidekick? You think we could see Danica in an F1 car?
I need
sure.
a sandwich? Is that what
yeah.
did I just
give me a sandwich.
I need a sandwich. Somebody make it.
Danica's on a media tour. You know? She's going to open wheel race. She's going to give NASCAR a try. We're going to go over here. We're going to do this. You know,
she's going to be at the go-karts you mentioned.
Yeah,
she's
yeah,
going to be
know.
There.
she's just making a media tour of all the racing circuits. Yeah. Getting her money, and then she's off to the next thing. You know, I'm going to go make some money over here now. You know, so we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, you know, I'll be curious to see how she runs today. You know, how's she going to run at Bristol?
I think she's had some success at Bristol in the past. I think that as an organization, you know, Stuart Haas has pretty good short track program, and I think she's run pretty well there. I don't know that she's ever, you know, I don't think, you know, obviously everybody's had their, you know, issues with the wallet at one time or another at Bristol, but, you know, I think she's actually fared pretty well at Bristol as an overall.
Well, hopefully.
Setting, anyway.
Hopefully we'll see some action on the track today. As I say, I'm still looking. It's a lot of green on the radar. And, you know, the last statement from the track location was we have a full agenda and we're going to get everything in. And if we have to put the lights on, we'll put the lights on. And it's only a half miler. So if we got to bring out the Titans, we'll bring them out and we're going to get this thing going. And we sure hope so, because I would like to see that. In the meantime, in between time, I guess what we could do, we could probably, I think we're done. We can go back over the wall. Why don't we pull up some fun fantasy stuff?
Yeah, man.
Did you guys have a look? You see who's leading the way here? We got our own Kimber Sue, I believe, still
leading
the way.
Yeah, I saw that.
But there's that B. Hain guy. You got to watch out for him. He's running second. Who else we got there? We got B. Hain's father.
Yep.
B. Hain's father's up there in number three. And
yep.
Sidekick, who do you see today? Are we going to talk a little fantasy? How do we want to do it today? What's the best recommendation?
Well, for the show roster, you know, finally picked up that win. Finally got a win last week.
I know.
You know,
that was
where
good.
Did that come from? You know, maybe I should not be on the show.
Is that what it takes?
You know what? You know, here we forgot one thing here. You got to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Good looking.
There
yeah,
you
I
go.
Can't, I can't play
now
the
it's
other
official.
One.
Now it's official.
So
good looking out.
But I can't play my clip this week because I'm not in first place, but. I still am the defending champ.
Ah.
So for the Frat House show picks, we're going to go with the pesky Penskys. We're going with Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski. We're going to keep Kevin Harvick in there. We're still going to run that young gentleman, David Reagan, in the 18. And we're going to fill it out with a bottom feeder, the lowest guy on the roster, so I could make out my roster, get everybody in there. J.J. Yaley.
Oh, you're going with Yaley. I thought it was going to be Matt DiBenedetto, but...
I can't afford Matt.
couldn't afford him.
With Logano, Keselowski, Harvick, and Reagan, I couldn't afford. The only guy I could afford was J.J. Yaley.
Wow.
All right, so that's our team. That's for the frat house team, essentially. All right. Okay,
yep.
I like it. 222-418. Okay, go ahead.
Yep.
Who do you
and
like
we're gonna
then?
We're going to take Brad Keselowski for winner with Ford as a manufacturer.
Okay.
So then we're going to we'll switch over to the number fourth ranked team here, Spring Rubber. We're going to run Brad Keselowski, Matt Kenseth, Kevin Harvick, Landon Castle, and friend of the show, Cole Witt. And we'll be running, obviously, Keselowski and Ford for the manufacturer and winner. And we'll be running Brad Keselowski as my Eat My Dust pick.
Damn.
It was hot. It's a toss-up between Kenseth and Brad. And, I keep going back and forth and, but, like Brandon alluded to earlier, I got a feeling we're going to see one of those pesky Penskys in victory lane today.
Yeah,
awesome.
That's the way I see
it. How about it? All right. Nice. It's always fun. I like hearing who's picking who because it makes me feel better about who I picked or not. Of course, we're gonna have to hope we get Fred House Mike on here or his. So I'm putting you on notice, Fred House Mike, to join us anytime you're ready. Brandon, go ahead, man. We've heard it from Sidekick, and it sounds like it's a heavy Penske influence with a little Harvick on the side because it's hard to turn down the Harvick. He's only been the best entree on the menu. Who do you like this week?
I'm going to go along with him a little bit. I mean, I got Harvick and Keselowski and Reagan. I'm not going with that Logano. I don't like his chances of finishing. I'm going to stick with Kurt Busch, who I've been riding the last couple of weeks. Kurt Busch has run well here in the past. I believe, actually, just going back to our earlier conversation, he won here for Roush Racing when he drove for them. So Kurt does have a good record here at Bristol. And I'm rounding out the team with Casey Mears, and I'm picking Keselowski in the Ford to win, and Keselowski is going to be my Eat My Dust as well. I think that, too, you're going to see a lot of that white and blue number two today. That's just my opinion.
Okay, got it. All right, so here's Brandon's picks. All right, we're going back to the speed hole now. And Brad Hell. Brad Hell's Mike.
Yeah.
Great googly moogly.
I'll tell you. God, I hate April.
What'd she ever do to you?
Yeah, really. Yeah. Oh. All right. Well, I'm getting myself together here. How about that? Well, you're looking for a lap from me, right? Well, gentlemen, I got to tell you something. I feel very, very good about this team right here. I'm going to tell you, too. You're going to find this team, you're going to recognize it. All right? Because here we go. Are you ready? We're going to go with Matt Kenseth. We're going to go with Denny Hamlin. We're going to go with Carl Edwards.
Wow.
Martin Truex Jr. and David Reagan. I'm going heavy on the JGR group.
Heavy, you got them all.
Yep. And I'm going to go with Carl Edwards to win it today.
Ooh, that's not a bad
to
choice.
Be the man, you got to beat the man. And I'm saying I'm the man. Woo!
That's right. Don't forget it. Well, look, I was last week.
That's great.
Thank you.
Eat My Dust. He was the Eat My Dust champion last week.
I did it last week. That's right. Don't forget it. I'm sneaking up the ladder board.
I'm an excellent driver. can't we just get in the running car?
You're mocking me, aren't you?
That might be true. There might be some truth to that. Well, here I'll finish this thing up. Here's the Uncle Mark group we're going with this week. I like the 20 car. I like the 2 car. I like the 41 car. Could have this week. We'll see. I'm keeping the 18, and I rounded it out with the 51 of Allgaier. Eat my dust pick is the 2 car. However, for fantasy purposes, I'm actually on the Uncle Mark team. I'm going to go with 41 Chevy on NASCAR fantasy because I think this could be 41 day. But for eat my dust, I tend to agree. I think it's a Penske. I think this is a Penske win. So eat my dust, I'm actually going to go with the number 2 car. Something about Keselowski today, I'm just astounded we all found ourselves coming that same conclusion because none of us had talked about even, you know, ideas about our roster. So, and I'm right there with you, Frat House Mike, on that 20. And I think Sidekick also had the 20. Something about Kenseth, maybe. Something about Kenseth today. Now, we have no... All right, I've got everybody's picks written down. We have no NHRA this week, Brad, Mike, huh?
No, we don't.
Nothing to talk about. Nope. Zach, next week.
Next week, yep. Next week we'll be back up and running again. There's only I think there's only like 2 weekends, the entire season where they go back to back. I think we got one of them coming up in the month of May, actually.
Good. What else? What else? We got a few minutes left. 3-7-8-2-6-9-9-6-4. This is time to get in with us. If you're listening, come on in. Kick the tires. See if we can take this. Maybe. Anything else, gentlemen? Anybody want to share? I mean, the weather reports look good. I guess we should be into pre-race coverage on Fox at this point. Is that right? I don't even know. But,
yeah, I would imagine it's on somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Darryl Waltrip and Michael Waltrip will run their gums even if there's no event today, as long as the cameras are rolling, I would think. So.
Yeah, I'm hoping we don't get no rain. I don't want to sit here and watch them two all day.
Well,
that would drive me up a wall.
Interestingly enough, I found this absolutely amazing here. Just a couple of moments ago, I subscribe, you know, you get one of those free, I want to say screensaver, but it's really not a screensaver, but you get the weather channel alerts, you know, on your computer. And I have it up there all the time. And, of course, I've got it set. My default is the town we live in right here.
Sure.
So, but what was really interesting was I'm sitting here a moment ago, and, you know, when you get an alert, you know, if there's storms coming or a storm or whatever, you'll get an alert regardless of where you are. You'll get a little blue alert across the bottom of your screen, whether you're in a word processing document or you're on the internet. You get the little blue alert across the bottom. It just gave me an alert for Bristol. Now I don't know how it knew that I have any interest in Bristol. Because I do not have Bristol set as a default for my, you know, for my regular updates. But it indicated that expect heavy rain for the next number of hours in Bristol.
Based on your browsing history, it knows that you're a NASCAR fan.
Well, that must be it. Seriously, it must. It must be. No, I mean, it must be a Google It's got to be a Google product, right? Because that's what Google's known for.
You know, just quickly here on F1 pregame show, they showed the pace car covered in rain. In other words, it looks like it's raining pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the radar, and
it's all green.
There's an opening, but I think by the time they get it dried, a really heavy ban goes through. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think people got umbrellas open and stuff. Yeah, well, it's been fun speculating. We've had we've had a lot of fun talking about it all. You know, it's going to ultimately be not amount to anything.
Is this going to get in tonight? Are they going to do it tonight, or would they do it tomorrow?
Well,
they said the forecast tomorrow is just as bad, so they said they might try to do it tonight if they get a window.
Uh-huh.
We
I mean, they
keep
have
an eye on it.
They have lights there, so.
Well, they can always
move
the race to FS1, and we could be watching NASCAR at, 8 o'clock tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, this event last year was delayed for, 6 hours, and ultimately ended under caution. And, again, this would have been – it would have been about 4 weeks earlier because, they moved it and they changed the date this year. And we've had good luck. I mean, it's not as though we've had rain – and events delayed thus far this year, like we did last year at this point. But, yeah, this one might fall into the category. We'll see. We're hoping they can get it in. Sure, hoping so. At least we know who's going to win. Everybody has made a winning prediction. I certainly need to move up in the ranks. On the Eat My Desk, you all see, I'm in last place now. I mean, I'm the worst. I'm the worst. Frat House Mike jumped up nicely. Sidekick is in the lead, but Brandon's right behind him. So, and you guys both picked the same driver, right? You're both going with the two? Oh, all right. So there you go.
Everybody's going with the two. I'm
Frat
the
House
one
Mike,
that's
you've
up. Yeah.
You've got room. Yeah, but see, you've got room then to move up
exactly.
If they're both wrong, And,
well, I thought about
my
switching after Sidekick, but I stuck to my guns.
I went with them as well. I've got that two car.
We got three. Three out of four of you are all with
So this is right. You're right where you want to be, Fred House Mike. This is right.
Exactly right.
Well, all right. Here's what we can do. I'll share with everybody. We've got a few minutes. The schedule of how we do it here at Frat House Sports Radio Network. And today is Sunday, of course, and you've been listening to and joining us live for the Racetrim Motorsports Hour, which we bring to you every Sunday. Now, on Tuesday evenings at 7 o'clock, Frat House Mike and co-hosts bring you the all Major League Baseball news and notes on their program. Very successful, very fun program, Clean Up Hitters. Now, Frat House Mike, you're going to have co-hosts this week. Do you know who your co-hosts are? Since I've got you live here for a minute, do you know who's going to join you as your co-host this week? I know it rotates.
Yes.
Sometimes
you have
Sean Hagan. Right?
Yep. We are.
Sometimes Caleb.
Yeah, we're expecting both Nick and Caleb on Tuesday.
Okay, so it's going to be Nick and Caleb. So we want to encourage anybody that's out there, if you're listening and you like Major League Baseball, tune in to Frat House Mike and his co-host. I'm sure there's probably a guest in the works coming your way as well.
Yep.
Yeah, always trying to get something going on the Tuesday night program, which is a lot of fun. Now, on Thursday nights, right in the middle of the week, the whole gang of us come back. We huddle up for our flagship Frat House Sports Show. We talk everything in the wide world of sports that has occurred in the prior 7 days. Could be baseball. There might be a big baseball story, and Frat House Mike will revisit that. It might be something to do with the world of NFL, NHL. Of course, hockey's kicking up. So join us, please, on Thursday night at 7 o'clock for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. And, of course, we always take your calls, 347-826-9964, or jump in with us on Skype. Okay, how does it get better? Well, sit back and relax with us on Saturdays. That's Frat House's Mike's time to kick back, relax with his Frat House Saturday program. He always features clips from our previous broadcast during the week. He's bound to have an opinion or two. Frat House Mike, I sat and listened to you yesterday, and it was great stuff because he does bring in sometimes a sideways twist on something that he thinks is a big story, and he's always looking for you to chime in, weigh in, call him up, call him out. Saturdays, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's a great time to sit back and kind of retrospect and grab the best of the Frat House Radio Network with our host, Frat House Mike. And, of course, next week we're going to be back right here in the morning ahead of the Richmond race. Now, Brandon,
yeah,
you're going to be going there.
Yeah, I think we're going to be doing this on
Friday.
Actually,
that'll
night,
be
correct?
Friday, right? That'll
yeah,
be on Friday night, right? We're
oh,
actually
we
moving
it.
Ahead.
Oh,
we're going to be moving
Friday.
Ahead the schedule. Yes.
Yeah,
because it's actually
a Saturday
week,
night race.
Next week, Brandon will be there.
I will
be actually
on site.
On the ground. That's right. You're going to have to, I don't know, take some video or something for us.
Yeah, I'll get the phone out, snap some pictures.
There you go, and we can share that. And, of course, you know, so, Fred, it'll be Sidekick and I, right? Sidekick, we can expect you with us on Friday night. Of course, Fred Housemike is always in the mix. Brandon will be with us before he hits the road because, right, he's going to be heading to Richmond. And we should have, I guess it'll be some NHRA update news next Friday night, Race Trim Motorsports Hour with Brett Housemike. That should be fun. They're going to be in Texas, if I have my notes correct here, next week in O'Reilly Auto Parts Spring Nationals in Houston. Yeah.
Right.
So there you have it, folks. That's what you got to do. You got to listen in. You got to call, check in with us over on Facebook. Give us a like, Frat House Sports. Look for the purple icon. Give us a like. That gives you all the updates you need to know. What else, gentlemen? What else? What else? Anything
just
else?
Get ready for some racing, we hope.
Yeah,
hope
really.
This weather holds and get some racing in today.
I have a feeling we're going to be watching. I have a feeling we're going to be, you know, eating Cracker Jack and watching baseball is what I think.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you think so? Oh, wait a second. I just saw something encouraging. They just fixed an outboard motor to the back of the 78.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
All right, we're going to get this thing in after all, guys.
Is that nitro-fueled?
Yeah.
Is that nitro-fueled?
That's going to be top fueled.
Yeah, you know.
Sidekick, I want to thank you for joining us from St. Louis, buddy. It's always good to have you with us, and we'll look forward to
it. Yeah, out at Frat House Sports Midwest.
That's right. What's your weather forecast real quick? You're clear and dry and sunny out your way? Of course, you're north
it's
end.
It's raining.
North and
no,
west.
It's
oh,
raining.
You're getting it there, too, huh? Yeah, I guess this is the kind of a thing that's stretching across the country. We'll be getting our share of it tomorrow. But that's another day and another time, and that's not why you called. So, all right, gentlemen, thank you all for joining. It's always fun. Thank you, folks, who've been out there listening to us. Everybody, don't forget, you know, grab your favorite beverage and sit back and relax. Hopefully we'll get them racing, and we're sure hoping to. And in the meantime, in between time, don't forget, come back and find us next Friday night at 7 o'clock. We'll put up a notice. We will do our Race Trim Motorsports Hour Friday night ahead of the Richmond event, which is next Saturday. So everybody, come on by, kick the tires, and join us on Friday night. Gentlemen, enjoy your day. Everybody, have fun and enjoy the racing that we hope is going to happen today in Bristol.